It's time now for KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. Once again, it's Gabe from the KMTS Morning Show at Youth Zone again today with Allie, the development director. Congratulations on the promotion. You were deputy last time, so...
Moving up in the world.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Pete Durrance is here as well. He is a restorative justice facilitator at Youth Zone. Today, a more general conversation about Youth Zone and its history. Of course, what we now know as Youth Zone up until 20-some years ago was known as GYS, Garfield Youth Services. And like anything else, expand and grow, and Youth Zone was more appropriate considering the larger geographic area that Youth Zone works in. And... how long have you been here, Allie?
Just a little over a year now, about a year and a half.
Is it really that short a time?
Yeah, a blip in the scheme of Youth
Zone. For some reason, I thought you had been here, you know, since the very beginning. You were born in the back room or something like that.
Time flies when you're having fun, right?
Right, exactly. The overall mission of Youth Zone really has not changed over the years, even though it seems like over the years maybe additional services have been added based on need in the community.
Yeah, exactly. When it started, the idea was a group of parents that were kind of concerned about their own children's outcomes and behaviors in the larger community, finding ways to support them. So you're right that it hasn't changed a lot. Right now our goal is just to be able to create hopeful youth and strong families and safe communities. And that's been the same for the entirety of the organization.
In the larger community, I imagine most folks don't really know about Youth Zone unless they have been touched by Youth Zone in some way. Mm-hmm. And so as we're talking to those people, because people that know, right? Or as the kids on the internet would say, IYKYK, for folks that don't know about Youth Zone, give us your elevator speech.
Yeah, I've gotten really good at the elevator speech because there are a lot of people that don't know what we do. So I like to start by saying we do primarily court programming for kids. So if they've gotten a ticket... usually for possession of marijuana or possession of alcohol, sometimes for crimes against others, theft, vandalism, harassment, things like that. And then very rarely felony level crimes, possession of handgun, assault with a deadly weapon, occasionally murder. Those are very rare. But when they get a ticket for those kind of offenses, typically the court doesn't need to see them. They don't want them clogging up the system, and they don't feel like it's an appropriate place for a lot of low-level first-time offenders. So the majority of our clients are referred to us by the court, and if they can finish our program, they get their charges dropped.
So it's kind of like a second chance.
Yeah, exactly.
It's not scot-free, right? There is some work that needs to be done. And that's actually restorative justice can be one of those areas where that comes to play. But if those young people finish the program, then are those charges expunged? I mean, are they completely gone? Or I guess it may depend on a case-by-case kind of basis.
So there's a few different levels of how the court interprets their case. The first and most common that we deal with is deferred prosecution. So the court won't even hear the charges as long as they agree to do a Youth Zone program. So there's no discussion ever about the actual incident, and that's deferred prosecution. That's mostly what we do. And then occasionally they'll do deferred judgment, which is they've heard the case, but they won't decide whether or not a decision's made on it. And then we also do deferred sentencing as well. So that's similar to probation, where if they can finish our program after they've been charged and found guilty, then the sentence for their crime can change.
Gotcha. I would be really curious to, you know, you mentioned a few of those categories where a majority of Youth Zone clients, where it applies, you know, drugs, alcohol, so on and so forth. I'd be really curious to compare 2023, for instance, to 1976, 1977, see what, if any, changes had occurred over the course of that history. I'm sure you have the most recent numbers. I'm not sure that you were prepared for an all-encompassing question like that. It's what I do. I come up with these things in my, you know, my ponderance in the middle of the night.
I'll have it ready for you next time.
All right. You've got a deal. I will hold you to it. Okay. For the last couple of years, give us the numbers. How many young people has Youth Zone touched? Say, I'm sure you probably deal on calendar years, or do you work on a fiscal year?
We do a fiscal year. So July 1st of every year resets. It's kind of good to have it in the swing with school districts as well.
So, sure.
Last year we served 537 kids, and then the year before that, 488. So numbers are going up, and so are risk levels as well.
And do you have, out of that 537 between July 1st, 2023 and June 30th, 2024, of that 537, do you know how many fit into each one of those categories in terms of the deferred sentencing, deferred prosecution, and all of those?
Yeah, I would say 90% are deferred prosecution. And then the other 10 are deferred sentencing. And those are, that 10% is the really
the more serious
felony level crimes that
they've been
charged, they've been found guilty, and then it's up to them to kind of decide what the future is going to look like for them through our programming.
Gotcha. So 90% of those cases are the young person, you know, the juvenile saying, yes, I did something wrong.
Yep, they admit guilt.
I will go through this program. I will work with Youth Zone to pay the debt to society in that way. Perhaps learn about other coping mechanisms so that they don't revert to whatever it was that got them in trouble in the first place. And hopefully they graduate the program, say goodbye. I hesitate to use the cliche, learn a lesson, say, I won't do that again. I'm curious, after 48 years, how many students maybe later on want to come back as adults and work with Youth Zone?
So, yeah, I did, not through Youth Zone, but I did a deferred judgment program as an adult. So I've done similar programming. We've got Pete sitting here. Pete did one. I know that we've got a few other staff members. I don't want to out them, but
I wondered if that might be the case.
Yeah.
It's to me, that kind of increases the impact of all of this stuff we're talking about. Okay, it's not just a get out of jail free card, because it is not necessarily that. And it's not just a clear the slate, don't worry about it, walk away. There is hard work to do. And because of that exposure to a program like Youth Zone, people want to come back and they want to help other people. Right.
Giving back. Yeah.
Right. Sure. By the way, if you'd like to learn more about Youth Zone, it's actually youthzone.com. We will take a quick break. We'll talk about restorative justice and other programs when we come back. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, this afternoon, we're talking with Ali at Youth Zone, and Pete Durrance is here also. He's a restorative justice facilitator for Youth Zone. As Ali mentioned, a majority of what Youth Zone does is somehow related to court programming with young people. In the Tri-County area, Allie?
Yeah.
Or, so Garfield, Pitkin, and Eagle?
And Rio Blanco. Okay. More Rio Blanco than Eagle.
Okay. So maybe just that sliver of Eagle? Okay.
Exactly.
Gotcha. So Roaring Fork Valley, Colorado River Valley in Garfield County, and then Rio Blanco. So as I talk myself through this, that's obviously the 9th Judicial District.
Exactly.
Okay. All right. I eventually catch on sometimes if you give me the opportunity.
You got it.
As you mentioned, 90% of the programs, 90% of the young people that Youth Zone serves, it's that deferred prosecution, which means those young people, they admit to what they did. They agree to enter a youth zone program. They graduate, if you will, from youth zone. And then the court never has to see that case. Prosecutors, defense attorneys, court staff, judges don't even have to hear that case because the kids have paid their debt to society in some other way and hopefully learn something from it. In those 10% of cases, it goes to the next level, and in some cases, there is what we call restorative justice. I don't remember the first time I heard restorative justice, Pete. It feels to me like it's a new term, like maybe in the 90s is the first time I heard it. It's probably been around forever, and it's just, you know, you think of everything in terms of yourself, right? So the first time you hear about it, well, it didn't exist before that, right? How long has restorative justice been around, and is the justice system really embracing it now where it's appropriate?
Great questions. So restorative justice has been around in the form of what we call restorative justice since like the 70s and the 80s, starting in the US and in Canada. That being said, the practices, the principles, the ideas, and the values that it's based on have been around for as long as tribes, cultures, people have been around. It's basically the idea, I mean, it looks a lot of different ways depending on the place and the context it's used in. So it looks different in a prison than it looks in an office like Youth Zone, but it's still based on the same principles and values. The main focus is repairing harm. I think as it relates to the justice system, one of the beautiful things about restorative justice is that once you're involved in the justice system, all the incentive really is focused around on separating the victim and the offender. You know, if you get arrested, the first thing they do is they read you your Miranda rights that says anything you can, anything you say can and will be used against you. The victim gets an advocate, and all these things are, I mean, restorative justice in this Western context isn't meant to replace the justice system. It's meant to work sort of in conjunction with it to address some of the things that, that the conventional justice system can't address. But the idea behind restorative justice is repairing harm rather than punishment. So in an ideal situation, and especially in the context of Youth Zone, what we're doing, with the clients and with the harmed parties that are up for it. And there's stipulations. We do a suitability assessment. And so if we are referred a client and that client is taking accountability, they don't have to take complete accountability, but they have to be on that track. We will do a pre-conference with them, sometimes more than one, but we'll meet with them. We'll get their version, their perspective. We'll ask them, you know, who do you think has been affected? What do you think we can do to repair the harm? Generally, if they're on board, we'll reach out to the victim and we'll go through a similar sort of interview with them. And then we'll all get together with the responsible party, the harmed party, and usually a community member as well, because restorative justice looks at harm as a community issue. So if somebody in the community is affected, then that has an effect on the community. And it can look a lot of different ways. There's a difference between, you know, shoplifting something from a store versus, you know, running somebody over with a car versus, I don't know, robbing a liquor store. There's a, you know, it can look a bunch of different ways, but in all of these ways, the community is affected. So we try to involve a community member as well.
Which makes sense. You know, anytime in criminal court, you always hear, you know, the plaintiff is the people of the state of Colorado, right?
Yeah, it's a crime against the state. Right,
exactly. The idea being that, yes, there may be other victims, but because of the crime, it is generally an affront, I guess you might say, or an injury to society in general. And so that's, I guess that's what the justice system is based on, right? The court system.
Yeah, and where RJ sort of takes a different approach is instead of separating the two parties, our goal is to bring them together to repair that harm so that everybody at that table in the circle who has a stake in what has happened has a say in how it's resolved as well.
Mm-hmm. Repair that harm. That could mean, I'm imagine emotional harm, obviously, is a possibility. Yeah. And in some cases, that could be physical harm. I'm not talking necessarily to another person. I almost feel like that would be an extension of emotional harm, even if it is physical in nature. Yeah. But when I mention physical harm, I'm talking about, breaking a window, something like that.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, it can be assault. It can be sexual assault. It can, RJ is used in homicide cases. I mean, I'm trying to think of cases where it hasn't been used.
It's appropriate in any crime against another person.
As long as the victim is willing and, able to participate in the process, right? That's the important thing that you mentioned is that's part of that suitability study, if you will, is making sure that the victim is interested in accepting the restorative justice.
In the way we practice it here at Youth Zone, that is typically the case. That being said, the victim doesn't have to necessarily be a part of it. So if we're working with somebody and the victim says, nope, I'm not touching this, we can still use there's a lot of different models within the restorative justice practice that we can use. So sometimes we can use like a victim surrogate. Restorative justice is more of a compass than a map.
Okay.
So that means that there is a lot of leeway. You can get creative when we do this in different situations. Sometimes there's multiple responsible parties and one harmed party. And let's say two out of the four responsible parties want to do it and two don't. We can still work with the two responsible parties that want to make this right.
From a restorative justice standpoint, when we're talking about offenders, and again, that's a very broad term, and you deal with a wide range of offenders, of youth offenders at Youth Zone. Young people are so delicate, even if they're offenders, and we've all made bad mistakes.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
In our lifetime, right, some here, worse than others. And Pete, I think it was you. I can't remember if this was while we were on the air or not, but you mentioned, sometimes it's a matter of getting caught as well.
Yeah.
And I wonder what part restorative justice plays in helping heal the mental. Because a lot of times, my dad, the therapist, right, has this saying, hurt people hurt people. Yeah. And so I wonder, for a young person that has committed some kind of crime against someone else, how much of a healing concept restorative justice can be for them. Yeah. A lot of times, it may take years to deal with stuff like that. But it's got to be pretty powerful, I imagine.
Yeah, again, it looks different in different situations. One thing we constantly see is that, you're right, that saying hurt people, someone said to me the other day, untreated trauma is transferred. Mm. When we do this work with prisoners via the Insight Prisoner Project, the one thing that we see in all of these cases is that there has been substantial trauma. Right. And it's usually during the developmental years, which is why Youth Zone is great. It's a chance to come in before someone's locked up, before someone's dead.
And before it's too late.
I guess. It's too late. Yeah.
I got another one for you.
Shoot.
what gets buried alive when you're talking about trauma.
Ooh.
Yeah. That's like my dad's it. Again.
Yeah.
Again, if you'd like to learn more about Youth Zone, it's youthzone.com. As I mentioned before, if you haven't had a personal experience with Youth Zone, you may not be familiar with it. And yet, hopefully during our conversation today, you'll realize that it's so vital and so important. And again, talk to someone who has graduated from Youth Zone and they'll tell you, chances are they'll tell you, yeah, it was a good thing. A second chance in one way or another, even if you did have to end up, you know, doing some hard work to make it right, it's still a second chance. We'll be back to wrap things up in just a moment. You're listening to KMTS Connections. Welcome back to KMTS Connections. Again, we're talking with Pete Durrance. He is a restorative justice facilitator at Youth Zone. Allie is the development director. And again, just a general conversation about Youth Zone, what they do, why it's important in the 9th Judicial District. So helping young people, working with young people in Garfield and Pitkin counties, that little sliver of Eagle County in the Roaring Fork Valley, and then Rio Blanco County. In terms of those, that court programming, which again, you said is a vast majority of what you say. So young people that are either as part of the prosecution deferral, they're in a Youth Zone program, or depending on the offense, it's actually a sentencing deferral. As part of that, those young people, where appropriate, also go through some substance education.
Yeah, so Pete gave a great example of restorative justice. That's just one pillar of our programming. So another really common programming is substance use education. And so, like I said, most of these kids are coming to us for minor possession of alcohol and marijuana. And so there's a few different levels of substance education that they can get. The first and most common is just kind of a group session where they have a chance to learn about the impacts that drug and alcohol use has on their brain, their body, their communities, their relationships. And it also gives them an opportunity to kind of process their own use and what that is doing in their community. That's kind of the first level. The second level is, I would say, a one-on-one substance counseling with a trained facilitator. And that's for kids that are maybe not as comfortable in a group or have more severe issues that need to be addressed. And so we kind of give them a few different levels of support.
There again, I'd be really curious to go back to 1976 when Youth Zone's predecessor, same organization, just a name change in there. 1976, when this program began, I'd be interested to see what types of substance education was occurring. I would put money on alcohol, and yet illicit substances have been around since the beginning of time. And so regardless the legality of certain substances for adults, they're still there at some level.
Yeah, and I think people ask me a lot about marijuana and whether or not our legalization of it has made a difference in youth use. And I can't say for certain whether it has or not, but I do think that we are, you know, hundreds of years slower in how to deal with that as a society than we are with alcohol. We've had many years and many trials to figure out safe, appropriate, reasonable use of alcohol. We're still learning.
Oh, yeah.
But we have not had even, you know, 20 years worth of that for marijuana.
So, it's barely a little over 10 years.
Yeah. Right? There's some catch-up work that we're doing as society that I don't think was common 50 years ago. And I think our approach to substance use education has changed then as well. I know for certain that decades ago, it was an abstinence-based approach.
So that's exactly what I was going to say. Yeah, we don't know 50 years ago, 100 years ago, we didn't know either. Of course, that's when prohibition went into effect in the 20s sometime.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So our programming is not abstinence-based. It's harm reduction-based. And so we're working with the assumption that if these kids have been in trouble for possession and use of these substances already, chances of them still continuing to use that as a tool and a mechanism for coping are probably still pretty high. So we're going to give them all of the information and tools to minimize their use rather than just make the assumption that they're going to be able to stop altogether.
Find out what started this in the first place.
Exactly.
It's hard to solve a problem when you don't know how it started and you don't know what the cause is.
Yeah. And we know as human service providers that all behavior is communication, right? So the behavior of engaging in drug and alcohol use as a minor is your way of saying something, either to your peers, to your family, to your community. And part of that processing group at the substance use classes is figuring out what is going on with me and my peers that are leading me to that choice.
And sometimes that communication is, I need help.
Yeah, right? Exactly.
Speaking of which, I said that substance education is one of those things that comes with the court programming, and it is, it does. And you work with young people at Youth Zone also who are not referred, who are not involved in the court system. And those are called non-court referrals. They could come from a family. They could come from a school. And these are the same programs. It just, you explained this to me earlier. It's a step earlier in the process.
Yep.
It's gotten to that point.
A little further upstream. Yeah. So 60% are court referrals. And then I would say about 20% are referred to us by the school. Either the administrators, counselors, school resource officers. And then we've got another 10% that are referred to us by law enforcement agents that are out there in the community but don't work at the schools. And then another 10% that are walk-ins, parents and kids that know they need help but they don't quite know how to get it.
Again, same services for all of those folks that are offered free of charge, by the way, which is kind of why we're talking here, because
there is a little fee, but we can talk about the fees.
Oh, okay.
It's $200, and that's the only cost that a client would incur out of their own pocket. And then we do have a sliding scale for income. Yeah.
Wow. So $200 for the program.
Correct.
Not per visit.
Correct.
But for the program.
Correct.
Okay. Again, youthzone.com is the website. You can learn more about the organization. Again, if you haven't had a need for Youth Zone, you may not know about it, but you can learn about it. Maybe someone is listening right now and they're thinking, you know what? I'm concerned about a young person in my life. Let's have a conversation and see if this is an appropriate step. Again, before the court system is involved, before law enforcement is involved, before you have to worry about restorative justice necessarily.
And we know that as the sooner we solve those problems and start that dialogue, the cheaper it is for our taxpayers and society, the easier it is to have those conversations. And ultimately, we want to try and prevent as many of them as we can.
I'm curious if Youth Zone is unique, or are there organizations like Youth Zone throughout the state and throughout the country?
Yeah, so we are very unique because we are the only nonprofit that provides services that I know of. So
in other counties or other judicial districts, it might be as part of kind of like CASA, which is part of, okay.
Yep. So all the other counties and jurisdictions in Colorado have a similar program through the district attorney's office. And typically they have one or maybe two staff members that do it. So we are really unique that we have a huge staff and we have a nonprofit that's operating in conjunction with all of the different partners to provide our services.
A lot of times when we talk about veteran services, we talk about the fact that veterans appreciate talking to other veterans. Is it the same with Youth Zone? I'm sure not everybody on staff has some kind of experience in the juvenile justice system, but when you've got a young person that may be in trouble for whatever reason, is there a credibility that goes with the counselor being able to say, I'm sorry, I just flashed on Jane Lynch in Role Models. But does it give a little bit of credibility when the counselor says, you know, I've been there, I've done that?
Yeah, certainly.
So there is a way out.
I can think of a great number of our substance use counselors that are sober in recovery. They've been through that in their own lives. I know a lot of the youth advocates, like we mentioned, have been through a deferred prosecution program in some way.
Right here.
Yeah. And I know that everybody, regardless of their involvement in those systems, has gone through tough things in life. Like everybody had, I don't know anybody that had a grand time as a young adult and as a teenager.
Sure.
Everybody's been through that. And it helps to have someone that you feel confident and safe discussing those things with that are not maybe your peers or your family or your counselors at school.
Fair enough. And sometimes one degree of separation can make it so much easier.
Yeah.
You know, sometimes when you're talking about tough subjects, somebody that you don't know, you don't see on a regular basis can be so much easier. Again, the website is youthzone.com if you'd like to learn more. Obviously, you can make a donation at any time. You can learn about other ways that you can get involved and you can help out. And again, if you think a young person in your life might benefit from Youth Zone services, you can also learn about what that looks like.
Yeah.
Anything else, Allie, that we haven't talked about?
Yeah, I would say we've got an online referral system. So if you go to youthzone.com/referrals and you're curious if it is a good fit for you or someone you know, you fill it out and we'll get in touch with you. It's always better to err on the side of caution than let it go and not explore the options.
Fair enough. Pete, what about you?
That's it. I mean, it's an incredible resource and facility, awesome staff. Once you come in, if you start working with Youth Zone, it opens up the doors to a ton of resources in a ton of different areas.
Again, the website, youthzone.com. See you guys around.
Thanks, Gabe.
Thanks a lot.
You've been listening to KMTS Connections, a public affairs program from KMTS News, heard weekdays around 12:30. It's another reason we are the most listened to radio station from Rifle to Aspen.